Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
David, good morning.
Good morning, my friend.
Another week in the books.
And what a week it was.
Man, oh man. You know, some people have the Midas touch. Everything they touch turns to gold. I'm not sure what to call last week that I can say on the air, but everything I touched did not turn to gold.
Right?
Yeah, it's all right. It's all good. We're here to talk about what's going on in your house that we would touch or help you touch to turn to something better. So give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110. This is the opportunity to get all those questions answered. And let's see, we do questions. We solve debates between spouses, who's right, who's wrong.
About home improvement.
Home improvement. Yes, yes. Thank you for that clarification. Although we did get one. Remember, we had to counsel one guy not to be so mean to his wife. But then let's see. And our answers could change depending upon whether the spouse is listening or not. Just to be honest, we always give the right answer. David, this week is like, it's wide open, folks. Give us a call. We'll answer your questions. I have a lot of stuff to talk about just because I went back and looked at just a lot of questions that are either out there that I have been asked, that we've been asked over the years, that we haven't touched on in a while. One of the things, I guess it's just that time of year, and David, you and I were talking before getting on the air here about the jobs that you've got. This is the time of year, folks, where everybody's in like crazy, crazy, crazy home stretch. Like, I need to get this done by Thanksgiving, certainly by Christmas. And you need to move these five walls. You need to add 1,500 square feet on the back. And by the way, the foundation is sinking, right? We just got to get all that done in 2 weeks. It's not going to happen, but we'll talk about it anyway, and we'll help you get to it and through it best we can. 704-570-1110. Larry's ready to go. Let's talk to Larry. Larry, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I've got a question about a strange noise that's coming from the ceiling above the shower after the shower is used. It's one of two upstairs showers in the house.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like water dripping.
Yeah.
Although there is no sign of any water leaking anywhere on the floor, in the walls.
Yep.
Downstairs.
What is it?
To my knowledge, there aren't any pipes in the ceiling above the shower. Can you think of anything that might be causing the sound?
Yeah, the shower is probably coming up the pipes, plumbing is coming up the wall, and the shower head is on the wall, correct?
Correct.
So my guess is that it's still probably, do you have copper pipes in the house, do you know?
Yes, as far as I know, the house was built in 1984, so it's
okay.
Fairly old.
Yeah, so it's scary that we say 1984 is fairly old, but I remember reading a book saying 1984, wow, that's a long time in the future. But yeah. Larry, I think you fundamentally kind of have an idea in your mind, and it just doesn't make sense to you. I think it's still the copper pipes, and they they're heating up as you use the hot water, and then as you the shower stops and the pipes cool. It's just they're contracting, and that noise can be conducted. Remember, sound passes better through solids and liquid than it does through air. And so my sense, David, unless I'm missing something, is it sounds like it's clicking above him, but it's simply where a cleat is loose, the pipe is expanding and contracting.
Mm-hmm. Rubbing against wood, yeah. Anything like that.
And if it moves on a stud that's connected to, that's tied into the joist above, or the top plate hits the joist, I mean, the vibration and sound can transfer. I really think that's it. If you could check it out by running just cold water through the shower, and I'll bet you David's next paycheck that if you just do cold water, you don't hear the sound at all.
Okay, so...
So you're like, how do I make it stop? Do you want to make the noise stop?
Well, that would be good, yeah.
So it's not as... if you have access through the attic, well, even that, you're going to have a top plate in place. If you want it to stop, you have to tighten that copper pipe to the framing member. So there's probably, built in 1984, there's probably little J-looking cleats that are tacked into the stud and hold and have a little loop that hold the copper pipe in place. And it's just come loose over a period of time. You got to get back into the wall and refasten or tighten to the framing member that copper pipe.
Okay, which would involve, I guess, taking some of the wall out.
Yes. So you have to ask yourself the question, is taking out wall and tightening this back up more or less desirable than the noise when the shower shuts off?
Yeah, I see what you mean. Okay, if ultimately I do decide to knock out the wall and, mm-hmm. and have this connection tightened or something, what type of plumber or what type of contractor would be the best type of person to handle a job like this?
Well, if you call a handyman, then they can cut the wall open and probably strap the pipe down, since they're not really opening the system, and then patch things back up or install a access panel.
Uh huh.
So that would be the other thing. Otherwise, you're going to need a plumber, and then of course, if he puts a plumber can also install an access panel, but. It just depends on who you can get a hold of, I guess.
Okay.
But though you have those options, so, and you may need a drywall person as well if you don't use a handyman.
Okay. All right. Well, that gives me a direction to go in. So.
Okay. Well, if you need help with any of that, send us a note to our website, askjohnanddave.com. Hit the questions button, and we'll see if we can get you connected.
Okay. I appreciate the advice. Thanks a lot.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Larry. Paul, we see you out there. Don't go away. We know you. We love you. We just got to take a break here. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're going to be back to talk to Paul Jameson and many, many more. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And let's jump. We got lines open, 704-570-1110. Right now, we're going to jump to a voice you know and love. Good morning, Paul.
Hey, guys. What's going on this morning?
Oh, we're bored to tears. That's not true. We're rocking. Larry started us out first thing with a great call. Here you are. Tell us what's going on.
Well, you were talking to Larry, and Larry was talking about noises with pipes and copper pipes.
Yes.
I bought a house a couple of months ago, and at your all's recommendation, I got rid of the 15-year-old water heaters and put in a tankless.
Mm-hmm.
And the plumber just came back to me, and he said, your copper pipes down there, for another $4,000, I can, there could be a problem. You might see some leaks. And then I talked to somebody else, and they're, these copper pipes, they shouldn't be giving you a problem. It's very conflicting for me. And you look at him, and he sent me pictures, around the joints there's a little bit of the green stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't have any active leaks at this point, and I'm not on well water.
Yeah.
So I mean, is there some warning signs that you guys can give me,
mm-hmm.
that can help me make a decision instead of throwing money down a hole?
Yeah. So typically, Paul, when people are talking about issues with copper pipe, and it happens particularly in our world, our geography, because we have somewhat acidic soil. And so the water will tend to be a little bit lower on the pH side, and lower pH ultimately corrodes metal, right? So certain kinds of acid are used to just cut through metal. And so if the pH is consistently low, and it would have to be fairly low, you can have issues where over a period of time, the pipes, there's corrosion and fundamentally dissolution of the copper in the pipes, and then you get little pinhole leaks, and you know that's the disaster that everybody's trying to warn you against. So right. Two things that would be like a warning sign. I don't think a little bit of green around a sweat fitting is necessarily problematic. Number one, you can get your water tested and have them tell you what the pH actually is, and make adjustments if you need to. And David talks about like City Boss and some different water treatment systems that are not expensive and very easy to maintain. And the other thing that we know happens when you're having some problems with the copper dissolving, you'll see kind of like, I don't know if pinkish is the right color, David, you'll see rings in the toilet. Like you'll see residue in the toilet typically, because that's where the water sits unmoved for some period of time, and that would be an indicator that maybe you should have that checked. But I don't think, as a general rule, David, that we need to go in and rip out copper and replace it with PEX.
No, yeah, and you know the blue stains the blue stains really show when copper is deteriorating. Faucets, tubs, you'll see it a little bit in the toilets. So you're probably fine.
Yeah. Okay. That's good to know, because, I mean, I just, you know, then he talked about a water filtration system, if I didn't want to do that. I mean, I just, there a lot of people tend, when you move in and you go across things, and you're finding out all the things you didn't know.
So, yeah. Now, I think, I mean, you're right to ask the question, but it's, I think as a general rule, it's not critical. If you really want to put your mind to rest, get a water, you know, test, get and see what the pH and stuff is.
Yeah, that sounds like a great thing. Thanks so much, guys.
So what are you doing today now that you're not changing pipes?
Well, I'm thank you for asking. I mean, today is a day that goes to the dogs. Today is our annual charity event called Positively Matthews. We didn't get to do it last year, where the dogs take over Stumptown Park. So us, with a combination of the town of Matthews, we put on an event. There'll be live bands. There'll be vendors, coffee bars, beer gardens. Last time we had about 2,000 dogs that came and enjoyed the day in the park. And we do an adoption, and all the proceeds go to the Matthews Police Department Canine Unit.
Nice.
And it's just a great day. The only day dogs are allowed in Stumptown Park. So they own the day, and it's from 10 to 3.
That sounds pretty good. Aren't you glad you're not changing your pipes now? You know,
that's true.
Living in Georgia, when you say the day goes to the dogs, that means something totally different.
Right. and it's Saturday.
How about them dogs? Yeah. So look, yeah, good job, man.
I'm talking about the four-legged wagon.
No, I know. That's better. Well, I shouldn't say that. I have two Georgia Bulldogs in the family, but I think what you're doing is pretty cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, we have such a good time, and people come, and you know, who doesn't love a four-legged dog friend? You know, they're the ones that greet you at home and don't ask you to change copper pipes. You know, they don't care.
We don't care what color the toilet water is. We're going to drink it anyway.
That's right. You guys, I tell you what, I love listening to your show. You know, I end up getting an issue every couple of months, and I email you, and I'm so thankful you guys are out there. It's great information. And I do thank you for letting me share about today, but thanks for all you share with everybody.
Glad to do it, Paul. Thank you for your call.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, guys.
Have a great one. All right. See ya. Going to the dogs. That sounds like you don't have a dog, do you, David? Did you ever have a dog?
Yeah. Yeah, we've had dogs in the past. We don't have one now.
Yeah.
Well, me.
Yeah. I think Beanie Babies are good. We've had all of our Shera dogs and awesome dogs, but I'm like, you know what? It's kind of nice to travel and not worry about what's happening with the dog.
Yeah, that's kind of what our situation has been, so we're good with it. We might get a fish or something.
Get a fish. Get a Beanie Baby. I'm telling you, stuffed animals rule.
We got rid of all of them. Yeah, all the Beanie Babies.
Well, just get one and say you got a dog. I don't know. It is an amazing deal, though. The kids, you know, have the best memories. Okay, let's see. Let's get so before Larry and Paul called, we were just kind of running down some stuff. I went out and looked, David, at just like 4,622.5 questions, either that we have gotten an email or that I've had notes on. I actually have a stack of stuff here. I know you do too, just all the different things that we've messed with. And there's a lot of questions about paint and painting. And I presume it's just because we're headed into that time of year. And right before Larry called, I think we were talking about the fact that you're probably seeing it in your work. We're certainly seeing it. It's like, let's get all this stuff done. Let's get this flooring installed. Let's get, you know, these new appliances, although that's been some challenges. But let's get all this stuff done before the holidays, because the holidays are coming up. And so I thought I would take some time on some basic questions that popped up with respect to paint. And then there's also, so there were two things that I saw just in a quick glance, a lot of paint questions. So if you got paint questions, give us a call, 704-570-1110. And then there were a lot of inside wiring questions, David. And if you got inside wiring questions, 704-570-1110. We have a special line for each, paint and wiring, 704-570-1110. And then the third most common thing was flooring. And there was a lot of ceramic tile flooring questions. And we imagine we may be changing some of that stuff out. But we'll talk about all that stuff. We'll talk about whatever else may be important to you. So call us at 704-570-1110 or go to AskJohnAndDave.com. And you can click on the questions button and send us a note that way. And we can spend a little bit more time looking at what the question is and sharing some information back. And don't forget to tell us roughly the geography you live in, because we've gotten emails as far away as Australia. So where you live may matter in our answer. So look, we're going to tackle all that stuff when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doble.
Pardon me, 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. That's our number. Give us a shout. Happy to talk to you about what's important in your home improvement world. David, right before the break there, I was sharing just some of the things that seemed to be consistent in questions. And I thought I'd take a minute just to kind of go through a lot of paint questions or painting questions. And one of them that repeats is like picking a sheen. Like, how do I pick a sheen for my walls? And I think it was more than an aesthetic question. It was kind of like, does it matter what I put on the walls from a durability and so on perspective? And I think with a couple qualifications, the answer is yes, it kind of does matter. Mm-hmm. What sheen you put on, right?
It does. It does. I guess we can just kind of go through them. I think normally you must always want to put a semi-gloss or a gloss on the trim. So
right.
Doors and trim, things that are more likely to be touched with someone's hand, mm-hmm. It makes more sense to use those two sheen levels because they're more washable.
Right.
And they're meant to be washed. I guess that's important. And then I'm a big proponent of flat paint on the walls because most drywall is not done very well, and it flat paint tends to hide the imperfections. When you start going to a sheen, it shows everything as far as imperfections right. in the drywall, screws, joints, whatever. But if that's something you can live with and you're looking for scrubability, then by all means go with a eggshell or a satin. On the walls, and it's going to become more washable. But the one thing I find, John, is with anything with the sheen is much harder to touch up.
Yes. So you have like dry hide and wet hide in a paint, right? And it's really, if you stop and think about it, it's very simple. The higher the sheen, the more reflective, right? So that means light hits it in a straight line and comes off of it in a straight line. And so it's going to show every bit of inconsistency. Whereas flat, light hits it in a straight line and it comes off it dispersed.
Mm-hmm.
So when you try to touch up with a high sheen, there's always an edge to that. Now you can feather it out and so on, but those kinds of touch-ups are very, very difficult.
Right.
And I work on, like, my customers, right, have homes that they rent and multifamily people renting apartments and they have to repaint. And it's classic. I've heard the debate forever. Like, well, we'll just touch it up. And everybody, like, you can't touch up that wall. You just can't. With a flat paint, you can. And then there's another product like called Dead Flat, right? For like ceilings and same thing, where you have some inconsistencies in the ceiling, that flat hides the bumps and what have you.
Right.
Carlos has a question here. Let's get him on the phone here. Carlos, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Good morning. It's not really a question. I've painted for over 40 years, and you totally forgot about angel paint on the walls.
Yeah, we haven't gotten there yet, but thanks.
Imperfections very much, and it's very scrubbable.
Right.
Get a good brand that may have an additive to it. They used Porter used to make a Teflon eggshell. That's all I wanted to say.
No, that's good. That's good. Good feedback. We love it when our professional listeners share that information. I think, David, you just hadn't gotten to that point yet as we went down the list. But that is a nice compromise, the eggshell, right, between a flat.
It is. And then, some things that I've done, like I've done this in situations, bathrooms and garages where they tend to get wet and damp. If I need to use flat paint, a lot of times I'll use exterior flat. The VOCs are a little bit higher, but not much. But I have used them in bathrooms, and they're a flat exterior paint is a little bit more scrubbable, and it touches up pretty well.
And then there's the whole line that we've talked about of the scuff defense from Behr, where they've done, I think that's what Carlos was talking about also, where there's an additive in there to make it less susceptible to the scuffing and then easier to clean should it get scuffed up.
Right. And of course, the better the paint, the higher quality paint, the less you'll see come off on a white rag if you're washing or scrubbing or a magic eraser.
Yeah. Or Fantastic, or 409.
Right.
All right. So you actually anticipated a couple of the other questions that were out there, and we won't get to it probably before our break. But it was like how to deal with mildew, or is there a paint that will help prevent mildew, particularly in the bathroom or, as you say, in the garage, right, where you're prone to dampness.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a conditioned space, so you could have some issues with mildew on the wall. And so we'll tackle that. We're going to be right up against the break here, so we're just going to go ahead and take it. If you've got questions, whether it's about paint or electricity or plumbing, we're going to share a Home Depot product of the week when we come back. We're going to talk about those questions. We'll talk about anything you want because we've got lines open at 704-570-1110. I should qualify that. Anything you want with respect to home improvement, it will keep us out of trouble. So give us a call. We're going to take a little break here, and we'll be back to answer your questions when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110. That's the secret code, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. That's what Gigi has done. Gigi, good morning. You are in the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
I'm doing good. Happy Saturday to you guys.
And to you.
I live here in TGK, and we have a lot of trees, first of all, but we live in a house that is made out of wood. We have a lot of woodpeckers that have actually had fun, you know, in one side of the house, outside, of course. And now I need that wood to be replaced and paint. And I don't know who to call. The section is quite high, so it's not like you can get on a ladder
right.
and, you know, get the wood out, put new wood in, and then paint it. And I don't know of any company that could just do that one side. Usually when you call for something done, they want to paint the whole house. The house
yeah.
doesn't need to be painted.
Right.
Just that one side. And I think it's a big job because of the height.
Right.
And because a lot of the wood needs to be replaced. Do you know of anybody or think of anybody that could do that kind of work?
Well, I mean, there's several siding folks that advertise on WBT,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you know, would possibly do one side of it. But, I mean, probably they're going to do an inspection if it's that high. It probably needs to be inspected, and while you have the equipment out there, just make sure that there's not other portions of the house that need it,
right?
Especially right. with wood. But I think TrueGuard is a advertiser in WBT, and I understand they do pretty good work.
Okay.
Anybody
else, or just
Affordable? I think it's Affordable Siding and Windows.
Okay.
Or another one. And if you can't get any satisfaction there, you can always send us a note to our website, askjohnanddave.com.
Okay.
And then just hit the questions button and just give me a quick reminder of what it was, and then we'll see if we can help you there.
That's johnanddave.com?
Ask.
Ask.
John and Dave, ask.
No, askjohnanddave.com.
Okay, it's too early for me, guys. I need two cups of coffee.
Well, I'm right there with you, Gigi. No worries.
But I love your show. I really love your show. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful Saturday.
Thanks. You too, Gigi. Bye. I'm with her. I need more coffee. All right, let's talk to Phil. Good morning, Phil. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Hello there.
Hey.
Can you hear me okay?
We can.
All right. I'm calling about my water heater that was installed in January of 2014.
Uh-huh.
It does have an expansion tank, but I'm getting a drip in the garage all the time.
Oh. And so the drip is coming off the temperature and pressure valve on the side of the water heater?
Yeah, it's coming out of the pressure relief line.
Yeah. Usually, Phil, I mean, I don't know how high you have that it's set. And as you say, the expansion tank typically would be a solution for that. A couple things can happen. Either the tank itself can have an issue, or the temperature and pressure relief valve, the spring, is just worn. And in either of those two scenarios will cause the little drip that you see. I think, David, I would start with the TMP valve and just replace it. Yes.
Yeah, that's about the most simple thing that you can do. Are you handy at all? Do you want to try to change it yourself, or do you want to call someone?
No, I'd try to change it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it gas or electric heat? Is it gas or electric?
Hey, Phil, you there? I think we might have lost. Oh, there
okay.
you go.
So it's easy to do. I bet you could find a thing on YouTube to walk you through it also. But fundamentally, you're turning either the gas and or the electric off. Well, not and, or the electric off. And then you want to take the turn the water to the tank off. And you've got to bring that water level down past the T and past the level of the valve. Right. I've actually seen, I shouldn't say I've seen, I've known of guys who change that quickly, and actually, since no water's coming in, no water goes out, and there's you know, it's like trying to get water out of a bottle turned perfectly upside down. I don't believe that that's a risk I want to take. So so drain that below the where the valve is, and then you do that through the bottom, right? You can turn the cold water supply off, and then open up the valve on the bottom and drain the tank. And then it's simply a matter of wrenches, Teflon tape, and the new part.
Okay, I can do that. And
yeah, it's
good reminder on YouTube.
There you go.
All right, thank you very much, guys.
All right, Phil.
Thank you, Phil. Appreciate the call. Not so bad. All right, line's open, 704-570-1110. We've got plenty to talk about, and I wanted to sneak in. It's kind of getting toward Christmas time, and I think it's time to start thinking about tools and stuff like that. But that's another day's discussion. I'm a little OCD. I love these products. So the product of the week that I want to talk about is a four-piece Pro-Duty Garage Organization System. I mean, it's pretty slick. It's made by Husky, and the price point on it is not cheap, but it's like $1,500, roughly, probably a little less, a little more, depending on freight and places. But it's like it basically does an entire wall of your garage, place for tools, a cabinet, you know, floor to ceiling, not floor to ceiling, but like a, I think it's a 6 or 8 foot cabinet and wall units. And what I like about it, it's got, you know, the Linex coating that they put in the backs of pickup trucks. Daily.
Sure.
This thing is coated with it has a Linex coating on it. So it's like tough. You can bang into it. It's not going to, I mean, you can't run your car into it.
Right.
But it's tough and it's going to take a beating and it's not going to get all, you don't have to, it's not going to need to be cleaned every 15 minutes, if you know what I mean.
Right.
So anyway, that's my product of the week. I know it's like not $19.25. But if you're going to make an investment in organizing your garage, this is the way to go. And it's part of a system. So you can actually add some additional components later on if you want to do it. So you can take it a little bit at a time. So check it out.
It sounds like it'll hold up well out in the garage as well.
That's the idea, right? It'll just, it'll take kind of a beating and it does help you get organized. That's just a place that, that a little bit of effort goes a long, long way. So that's my take on the product of the week for this week. We'll talk about lighted toilet paper holders later. That's out there somewhere. Seriously. Anyway, here comes Josh. Good morning, Josh. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
All right. How are you guys?
Excellent. How can we help?
Well, I've had a house now. I bought it about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The central heating in it is pretty old. It was installed in the 80s. It's an old unit, but I'm starting to get a lot of water leaking into my basement and the floor. It went out last year. It's still working fine, but I don't know if that's some kind of a problem or what I need to do to deal with it. I really need to get it checked out. And
yeah.
I'm really not sure what it could be.
Well, it's we're going to have our HVAC partners on the air with us next week, so certainly you can call back. But I think, David, we would recommend, as you've diagnosed it correctly, Josh, you need to get it checked out. And the two partners who there's lots of good people out there, by the way. And then there's some that you want to be careful with, but as a general rule, good. But the two that have been, who we've gotten the best feedback from and who are regular contributors to our show are Acosta Heating, Cooling and Electrical and Charlotte Comfort Systems. And we would be comfortable with you calling either one of them and having them come and take a look because we know two things. They know what's going on. They'll give you a good answer. And number two, they will not try to sell you something you do not need. If there's absolutely nothing wrong or if it's a simple fix, they'll tell you. They'll make the simple fix, and that'll be that. It sounds to us, though, by the age of it, you're going to have big, big benefits just in efficiency and so on by changing out that system. But we would let somebody who can actually lay their eyes on it give you some guidance on that.
Right.
Has that helped?
Yeah, absolutely. I just didn't know if there was any simple method. Like someone said, maybe like a drip pan overflowing. Everything's working fine. I just have a nice little pool of water in my basement floor.
Yeah. We're going to put you on hold for a second, Josh, because we got to go straight up to a break here that we can't skip past or run past. So hang tight. We'll make sure we get you squared away. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We'll get Josh squared away. We'll get you squared away if you call us at 704-570-1110. And we'll return right after these important messages.
Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back, everybody. This is hour number two of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we are ready to take questions. Lots of good calls, lots of good questions this morning. It kind of reflects what's going on when we go out online and check the different places for, you know, chats and conversations and blogging around home improvement. And so grateful for the calls. 704-570-1110. Keep them coming. We had total brain fade on the caller with the HVAC question.
Josh, I finished him off thanks. The air. And good guys. He got it's his first home, and I like his attitude. He says, you know, he wants to go ahead and take care of that, because when he sells down the road, he wants to make sure that the house is right for the next people, and that's a good attitude.
That's the golden rule, I think.
Yeah, that's what we talked about. It's exactly what we talked about. So yeah, good for him. So.
And it probably is minor, as he says. Well, probably not like major issue, but. The second question is, be thinking about budgeting for a replacement system based on the age, right?
Right.
Okay. So 704-570-1110, give us a call. We've got lines open. We were talking about painting and paint sheens, and then we got some calls. But David, you brought up something, you know, you said, hey, in a garage sometimes where there's some moisture challenges, you'll use an exterior paint. Or an exterior flat,
right?
What about in the bathroom? We've answered those questions forever and ever and ever. It's like, hey, I got mildew in the bathroom. I clean it off, comes back. There's always the conversation of you need ventilation, right? And yes. Not just ventilation, but you need a substantial gap at the bottom of your door to let air in.
So you can exhaust it.
So you can pull it back out again. Exactly. Right. So let's just say, okay, you got to make sure that your vent fan, A, that you've got one, B, that it's working. So let's posit all those things as true, and then say what is the best paint to use in a bathroom if you're fighting mildew and or you want to prevent mildew.
Well, something with a sheen, but really something with a mildicide in it is even better. So I know the Zinsser, and I can't for the life of me remember the name of that.
I had it on the tip of my tongue. I knew it until you asked.
But it's a Zinsser product.
Yeah.
And it's for the bathroom. I think it's tintable. It comes in white, a white base, and. Just a good product. We've used it through the years. And then, like I said, you can also use something with a sheen, a little bit of eggshell or a satin. And even, I think Behr paint still has a matte finish, which that's not completely flat. It's a flat paint, but it has a more washable surface, but it's still not as washable as a satin or eggshell or a semi-gloss. But there's a trade-off in the bathroom for that, you know, and if you have a higher sheen, and I see this in a lot of bathrooms that they'll have a higher sheen, but where the water, the condensation or the steam has gotten on the walls and you can see where it drips down.
Right.
So it leaves a mark. So it kind of dulls, it's probably the minerals in the water or whatever, but, that's kind of why I also like the exterior paint is that it may have the streaks, but then it goes away. But it's more scrubbable, more washable. Just a place that I would use it if that was what I was worried about.
Perma white.
There you go.
Which doesn't sound tintable, but I think it's a brand name. It's tintable. And then, so that's a very suitable, product. Would you use exterior paint in the bathroom?
I've done it. I've done it. It holds up well. And, you know, if you think about a house that the siding is painted with flat paint, you almost always paint the trim with a semi-gloss or a gloss. But the body of the house a lot of times is painted with a flat product, and it scrubs, it washes better. If you think about it, this, you can get the stains out of it when it's outside, and it just does better. Somebody told me not long ago that there was a breakdown in the paints and there wasn't a big difference, but I wonder about that because it holds up outside. I just can't imagine the flat paint that's on the walls inside my house on my siding would hold up. I just don't think that would be the case.
Okay. All right. There's a bunch more questions paint related, but I know that we're going to come right up against the break here. So I'll get us ready to do that. But one of the things was you talked about, you said it a couple times now about putting a semi-gloss or gloss on the trim. And one of the questions was, why won't paint stick to the trim when I'm trying to go back and repaint it?
Mm-hmm.
And there's a correlation there. And it's a really good question, and because it's a very common question also. So we'll tackle that. We'll talk about covering water stains. We'll talk about taking textured off the ceiling. We'll talk to Beth. We'll talk to Jonathan. And we will do all of that when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We've got some lines open at 704-570-1110, but great questions so far this morning. Keep them coming. Here comes Beth. Good morning, Beth. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
I'm fine, guys. How are you?
We are great. How can we help?
Okay. We use one of your recommended heating and air people.
Mm-hmm.
They did the winter check a few weeks ago, and we have a heat pump upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And so whatever it is upstairs in that closet, they have to work on. And I went in that closet last night for the first time since they've been there, and there's about a 3-foot pipe leaning up against the wall.
Oh,
and I didn't know what to do.
I bet
we've
that
had the heat on up there, and it's
yeah.
working fine. So I guess it's not an important part of the system.
What kind of pipe is it? Is it metal or plastic?
It's metal. It's metal. It's heavy.
Like black pipe. Do you have gas? What is the energy source for your heat? Gas or electric? You said a heat pump, right?
Heat pump upstairs and the gas pack downstairs.
Okay. Have you called them back to come after?
No, should I call them today?
Yeah, I would call them back. Here's my bet. Although I don't know what they would have done with that. I'm chuckling a little bit because I have a unit upstairs, and I go up to do certain things. But there's an area that I just don't frequent, and I went by there and I moved some insulation the other day, and I found a 3-foot section of black pipe. A half-inch black pipe, just laying where I couldn't see it in the insulation. And same thing. I haven't had the system replaced in probably 5-6 years, so I have no idea unless there's an epidemic of black pipe growing. I would give them a call back for two reasons. One, just to make sure it's not something, although black pipe is typically a supply line for gas.
Okay.
So if that was an issue, A, and you had gas, it wouldn't be working. And then B is just, I don't know, black pipe is expensive. They're probably going to want it back.
Okay. All right.
But I would give them a call, Beth. And I bet somebody comes out pretty quick just to take a peek, make sure everything's good, and then reclaim their pipe.
Okay. I'll call them right now then, guys.
No worries. Thanks for calling us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Have a great one. Pardon me. All right, 704-570-1110. Let's talk to Tim. Tim, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
Good morning, sir.
How can we help, Tim?
I was calling about painting your house. When is the best time of the year to paint your house? Or is this a good time, the winter time, the fall time? Please let me know.
Yeah, I think, David, we've offered advice about, you know, just making sure that the time that it's not too hot, over 70 degrees is really kind of hot to paint, but you'd never get any painting done except for the 3 days of spring that we have and the 3 days of fall that we have in our climate. typically, we've had painters calls and say you want to paint at a time when the paint is going to dry slowly. So absent freezing and absent rain, this is a perfect time of the year to paint. Cooler time where the paint will dry more slowly and cure.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Tim. We appreciate your call.
And then in spring, when we recommend is after the pollen. So either before or after the pollen sets
in. Great point.
You really don't. You know, I tell people the same thing for concrete, John. So if you're pouring concrete, if you don't want to pour in the pollen portion of the year, well, I mean, you can, but if you're picky, you're going to have...
Some people like kind of yellowish texture paint.
We poured in when the leaves were falling before and had to tear an entire driveway out because of it. We poured two driveways right together within a couple of weeks, and the one guy was very upset, and, you know, we tried to get some of the leaves out, and, you know, they weren't big, but anyway, and the other job that we poured, she loved it. She said it looked like fossils. So
I have one in that massive driveway of ours. I found one where a leaf had gotten in there, and you can see the impression of it. I personally think it's kind of cool, but I get that not everybody wants that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's not going to be the end of the world, but it is what it is, so, you know.
All right. Great question so far. We're at 704-570-1110. I want to just tee back up. Maybe I should make our product of the week Permawhite. No. I think that the product of the week is a Husky product. Pardon me. And it's Garage Organization, a four-piece Pro-Duty welded steel garage storage system with that black Linex coating like you put in the back of your pickup truck, the bed of your pickup truck. That is like... Ladies and gentlemen, if you're into like organization and tools and tough, this is a feast. It's not cheap. It's like $1,500. But I'll tell you, Barb, and that's down from like, it's almost a $500 saving over like normal. So it's a decent savings. So it's a great deal right now, but Barb bought me a garage organization, a couple of years ago now. And, I love it. I do like things just in certain places, but I'll tell you what, spouses, I'll just say spouses, cause sometimes it's the man, sometimes it's the woman that does, you know, the tool stuff in the house, but spouses, if you want your counterpart there to tighten up and get organized, it was a moving event for me. Because I got it, I'm like, okay, now I got to make some stuff happen. So the garage got organized. The tool room in the basement got organized. It's like, it's a motivator, in my humble opinion.
Oh, I need some in my shop then.
But I'm not normal. David, go get one. Yeah, let's get Gina on here.
I have all built-in stuff, and I've still got a mess. I've never settled in since I built that building. So I will this winter. That's the plan. I've had nothing but projects since we moved in, so it's settling down now.
All right, let's talk about headaches. And why won't paint stick to my trim?
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Well, it depends on there's a couple of reasons. Interior, if it's interior, there's a good chance you have oil-based paint.
High gloss oil-based paint
on the trim, and if you don't have a latex paint that is designed to stick to oil-based paint, it won't. And they do make that paint. It's expensive, and it's usually industrial. But you have to prime first. So if you have an older house with paint, first of all, if you're not sure, the best way is to take some denatured alcohol and rub that trim with a rag with a denatured alcohol. If the paint comes off, it's latex. If it doesn't come off, it's oil base. And if it's oil base and you want to go back with latex, you're going to have to prime it most likely.
So scuff it up a little bit too. Just go get one of those sanding sponge things. Mm-hmm. They're super, they're inexpensive, very easy to use. They kind of mold to the shape of the profile, the trim. And scuff it up. Even before the primer,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not really a bad idea to do that with any
latex
trim. That's
on latex.
Yeah.
Gloss, it's, right? Yep.
Well, and it knocks off anything that may have been stuck to the paint when it was originally put on. But it scuffs it up. And, you know, the Scotch-Brite pads work as well.
Yes.
And they
yes.
have different grades. The different colors are different levels for sanding.
So the other piece to think about is if you're in the kitchen or where there's cooking or other stuff going on, you probably want to get like a spick and span or Soilax or a detergent, a TSP type of cleaner, and really wipe those down well. Because the other reason that you can see some beading and stuff is just kitchen, grease from cooking and stuff like that built up on those surfaces. And the problem with that is it won't be as immediate an issue sometimes as you paint over it as when you're trying to put latex over a gloss oil paint, but it won't adhere, and then you get the complaints where, like, I scratched the trim and I pulled it to get, and like entire strips of paint came off, right? And that's just, we don't have good adhesion there, and many times that's just a matter of getting it clean. So that's it. That's why your paint won't stick well without knowing specifically what's going on in your house. That's why we think the paint's not sticking to your trim, and that's what we think you should do about it.
Mm-hmm.
We are coming right up against the break here, but that means there's more time after the break for questions. So give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110 is our number. We're going to talk about the popular chalk paint over furniture. We're going to talk about water stains in the ceiling. And we're going to talk about whatever else you want to talk about at 704-570-1110 or askjohnanddave.com. Click on the questions button and send us a note that way. I'm going to get some coffee. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back to talk more home improvement when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110, and we'll chat right now. We're going to talk to Andy. Good morning, Andy. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, thank you. I have two questions, actually. I have a crawl space. It's not a problem. I'm not having a problem with it. But there are vents. The proper way to open and close those outer vents, which have a little lever, you lift and pull, and it's mm-hmm. open, and you push it, and they close. That's the first question. When should I have them closed now, thinking it's going to be winter, and it's keep it warmer down there? And the other question I have is I've seen a solar fan for a roof. I wonder if I put that on the side so that when the sun shines, would it be possible, would it be proper to draw fresh air in every day that the sun's shining? So I'm figuring it's got to be dry and warm.
So we've gone back and forth on this over the 27 years we've been on the air. The crawl space solution is really, it's almost a, I don't want to say case by case basis, but, there's a pretty broad spectrum of scenarios, for the crawl space regarding whether the fans are the vents stay open or closed. We have traditionally said, look, as a general rule, moving air through that space is a pretty good idea. Even in the cooler weather, because in the cooler weather, as you point out, it's less humid, and we very rarely get any kind of length of cold weather, as in single digits for a protracted period of time, 3, 4, 5 days. And the ground temperature fundamentally stays around 55 degrees. And so the likelihood of having pipes freeze and so on in our climate is low. You do have to pay attention, and we like the idea of air moving. Now, if you have moisture issues in the crawl space, like is it damp down there? Do you have mildew and so on? If you leave the vents open in the summertime, you're just moving more moist air through there, right? So there's no help. I mean, you can move air, but it's as laden with moisture as probably the air in the crawl space. So our ultimate recommendation is call somebody who you trust to come out and take a look at it and say, hey, everything's cool in this crawl space. Leave the vents open as a general rule. So if I haven't thoroughly confused you by now, Andy, ask another question and I'll just keep going.
No, you haven't confused me.
Okay.
I've run across the same various opinions.
And yeah.
I come with a very strong opinion of my own. And I just wanted to see where I stood on.
Yeah.
Here's something.
Moving air is sound. Your moisture is a problem. I should make sure I solve that problem. Is sound.
Yeah, if you're moving air, it's one thing to move air in and out. There's some devices out there, a whole systems that you can apply to the vents that have fans, but it uses dew point, and it uses humidity and temperature, and it comes on at different times of the day, and it opens and closes vents. It's complex, and if you're going to have a ventilated crawl space, I would say that is probably the system to use. If you're going to have one that's closed up, then you do a semi-sealed crawl space, which involves closing the vents, using a dehumidifier, making sure that the water comes out. You have to put a vapor barrier, cover 100% of the dirt underneath. But with all of these, you have to ensure that you have, if you have a furnace that's using gas, natural gas, or oil, any fossil fuel, that you have combustion air for that particular furnace. So if you get into the higher rated furnaces, it's not really a problem because they can bring outside air directly into the furnace. It's not a big deal. But those are kind of the things that you have to think about. John's spot on with it. And I really think that if you have a crawl space and if you're questioning what you should do, the most inexpensive thing you could do to help you make a decision is to buy a weather station or a hygrometer that is wireless, so that you can monitor what's going on in the crawl space. So you can see what happens in the summer with the vents open. You could see what happens if they were closed with the temperature and humidity. The same for the winter, because if you don't have any data to go by, it's really and you're not going in there every day, it's kind of hard to tell. But if you have a wireless unit, you can see what's going on without actually going in there. I hope that makes sense.
All right. Well, yes, it does. And by the way, my crawl space it's not all 3 feet tall. It's 4 feet at the lowest and about 9 feet at the
yeah.
Lowest.
And you have a much better scenario. Crawl spaces that are closer to the earth or to the dirt can tend to have more problems. And especially when they bury, the crawl space ends up being deeper than the outside grade is where you see that a lot.
The back, I'll say 15 to 20% is a concrete floor, and everything else has got vinyl. So
yes, you're in pretty good shape.
Probably a good spot.
I would just get a weather station and monitor it, and then if you're not having mold or water dripping all over in there, I just keep doing what you're doing. Leave it alone. If it's not broke, don't fix it, right?
So then I should close it for the winter and open it for the summer?
If that's what you've always done and it works, then keep doing it.
And you don't have an opinion about getting a little fan, just move air through it?
I wouldn't move air in and out, but if you want to have a fan to circulate air down there, it's not a bad idea.
Oh, okay. Well, that's an idea, too. Well, I was thinking a negative atmosphere would keep air from migrating into the house and constantly offer a negative pressure.
Sure, it totally makes sense. But if you run a fan in the summertime in the dead of heat, you're going to pull hot, humid air into that crawl space. It's going to clash with that colder air that's naturally occurring, and then you're going to have a rainforest in there.
Mildew issues.
Ah. Okay, you just saved me from my...
From yourself. All right. Good luck, Andy.
Thanks, Andy.
Thank you. Great show.
I appreciate it.
Stay safe. All right. Bob, Janet, we see you guys out there. We just got to take a break. We'll be back right after these important messages.
WBT.
Your emergency situation station.
Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we're going to jump on the phone with Bob. Bob, thank you for waiting through the break. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
Hi, doing okay, guys. Good to hear you this morning.
Good to be heard.
Good, that's exactly right.
I'm hearing a significant echo. I don't know if that affects you or not.
It does not. Is your radio turned off?
I don't have a radio phone. Okay, the question surrounds our desire to replace the fixtures in a powder room. Been in place 35 years, and the questions come around the pedestal sink.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the best way to describe it in a nutshell is I'm uncertain about the sensitivity to the height of the replacement pedestal sink. I don't know how the existing one is fastened to the wall, and so I don't know how sensitive I have to be to the height of the new one compared to the height of the old one. And if you can help me out, I'd appreciate
it. Sure. Yeah. Now, is that the look you're after, is the pedestal sink to go back in there? Or would you
like it to be, yes.
Okay.
It's critical if we run into major problems.
Well, I mean, there's always the opportunity that the older sink is wider or thicker. The mount that's on there probably won't work, so it's going to have to be changed out. So you may end up running into some drywall work and some painting before that's over with. And then also where it's the pedestal is set on the sink, on the floor as well as the toilet. So the footprint or the outline of that, a lot of times after they've been on the floor that long, depending on what the floor is, whether it's, you know, a hardwood or vinyl tile, if it's scrubbable or cleanable so that you can get any staining or the dust or whatever that builds up around those two fixtures. So you have two places there that you have to look at when you swap fixtures out, especially been in place that long.
So you're going to end up picking.
Suggesting that.
Go ahead.
That it's the measurement is a challenge, and maybe we consider replacing it with a little cabinet kind mm-hmm. of.
That could save you. So if you can cover the footprint of where the toilet was, what's on the floors? What kind of floors do you have?
Well, originally it was carpet. It has since been changed to hardwood.
Okay. And so so it's been pulled, and that stuff has been replaced, is what it sounds like. Because they would take those out. So the flooring's not going to really be an issue. So it's really only the wall. So it's really a little bit of drywall repair, most likely. My suggestion also is to change the supply valves when you do this. That connect the supply lines to the fixture. So supply lines and the valves, because they're probably older. And that way, if you ever have an emergency, you'll be able to turn those off.
So I think you're saying that I don't have to be real precise about the height of the replacement.
You do not. You're going to go out and look and do all the measuring, and then you're going to find out that it's probably, for some reason, it's probably not going to cover, unless you could find something that's thicker in the actual bowl. And they do make some that are thicker and a little bit wider, and then you stand a better chance of covering up. But the old place where the sink was. The other problem is it blocked? Is the wall blocked for that particular sink? What did they put in the wall? What is the construction there so that because that needs to be fastened to the wall as well.
Right. So.
Yeah, and the chances of it working precisely with the mount that's in place is about zero, isn't it?
Pretty slim.
Yeah.
But you won't know until you get in it, and it's, it won't be the end of the world with quick dry drywall compound can be mixed up, and then to paint that wall. The bracket can be mounted, and it can be, the wall can be painted, and you let it set up, and then you hook the fixture up. It probably turns a one-day job into a two-day job.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the call. All right. I think Bob's going to find it's not that bad. He's going to take measurements. There's a lot of different sizes and styles.
Sure.
Sinks out there. If you want to go just a little bit larger to cover stuff up, it would not probably be a big issue.
Exactly, and you probably can get away with it. But you don't know till you get into
it. Take it off.
And right now, in these times, is it even available?
Lower your expectations.
That's what I keep telling
folks. Janet is next. Janet, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
How can we help?
I have a house that I built 34 years ago that I am I'm moving back to, that I'm refurbishing. And I have, in my garage, it's a tall garage mm-hmm. that has, my ceilings are white, but they are mildewed white. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's been painted one time and scrubbed, and it's still comes back. So I was wondering what kind of paint that I could use. Of course, probably use a mildew resistant paint, mm-hmm. or put mildewicide
in the paint, right?
Mm-hmm. First thing needs to be cleaned out there. So is it textured or smooth?
It's smooth. It's plywood or painted.
Okay. Oh yeah, okay, that's fine. Probably a BC or AC plywood. The house is older. So I think concrobium, John, right?
Yeah, I would clean it off with concrobium, spray it, wipe it down, kill the mold. And then I think, David, if she puts a good, I would do the semi-gloss there because if it's plywood, you're not going to be picking up all kinds of issues with finishing drywall and nails and joints and stuff like that. That would be my take. My sense is if you can, even if you don't do that, if you follow David's guidance or suggestion about putting an exterior flat paint on there, I think once you get a good seal on that wood, my bet is you're getting mildew because the wood is holding a little bit of moisture. And my sense is if you get that sealed really well, clean it off, repaint it, and you get a seal on there that probably prevents the moisture from hanging out for a protracted period of time, and it probably goes away. That's a guess. But.
Right. And if it's not in that bad a shape and it doesn't need to be painted, you may be able just to clean it and put the concrobium. It'll dry clear and you won't mm-hmm. know it's on there. And if it doesn't get wet on a regular basis, it probably won't mildew again.
Well, you know, it doesn't it's kind of a totally enclosed, well, it's just got the garage door open, of course, mm-hmm. and a back door.
Mm-hmm.
So I was listening this morning, and that's one reason I called, was when you were saying about something about using the exterior paint.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, like, we could do also that to put mm-hmm. this,
yes.
scrub it, put the concrobium on it.
Right.
And then use, did you suggested semi-gloss or gloss?
Well, you can use any of those out there if you wanted to. If you use something with more of a sheen, it's going to be, as John said, it's going to be more scrubbable. I would just go to an exterior paint no matter what you use out there, flat or satin. You could get away with a satin up there. It's going to be even more washable.
Carlos, call about eggshell, satin, same
yeah.
kind of animal. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It just depends on the manufacturer
right,
if they have
exactly.
it available. Some have just satin and some have eggshell and satin.
Well, I use a lot of Home Depot paints anyway, some of their
sure.
repairs. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good paint. They have great products. So, yeah, anything you do out there, but mainly prep work. Make sure you clean it first, because if you don't clean it and get it encapsulated and kill the roots of it or keep it from, it'll grow right back through. So what you have probably is you have a warmer area above that garage, and then when it cools off in that garage, you get a little bit of condensation on that ceiling. Of course, mold spores are everywhere, and all it needs is the right temperature and a little bit of moisture and you got it blooming.
Okay.
Blooming. Okay.
So prep it, clean it. Use it.
Concrobium.
And then an exterior paint.
Yep.
Yep.
Satin or semi-gloss.
Yeah,
yes,
something you can wash a little easier. Yep.
But listen, thank you so much.
Hey, you're welcome.
Thanks, Janet. Have a great one. All right, Janet's off to get the garage ceiling right. And we're off to another Saturday. Just wow. Screaming by. David, always grateful for you, sir. Probably don't say that enough.
Well, me, the same here. Dittos, man.
We're gonna wrap it up, folks. We like to remind you at the end of each show that we think that the most important kind of home improvement that you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. Don't forget to work on that project this week, and we'll see you next week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.